Well, a warm welcome along to another edition of Mark Langdon's Bets Club in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. And Mark is going to talk us through, as ever, all of his best selections for the Premier League action over the coming weekend. But Mark, we have to start off with what's happened in midweek in the Champions League. And I know it was the later of the two games across midweek, but sensational match at the Bernabeu between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. And once again, Real have managed to get their way through to the final.
Yeah, you end up running out of... We just say the same thing, don't we? That they find a way to get through in the Champions League just more often than not. I do think over the course of the sort of that 90 minutes, they deserve to win the game. But Bayern Munich will be absolutely kicking themselves because they kind of weathered that Real Madrid storm, got themselves one goal up with a brilliant finish from Alphonso Davies, and then were fairly comfortable, I felt. And then Thomas Tuchel made defensive sub after defensive sub, which potentially allowed Real Madrid sort of that further encouragement to go forward. But even the manager can't really legislate for a mistake like that from Manuel Neuer, who, as you know, just spilled a fairly basic shot into the path of Hossolu, then comes up with the winner. And I think, like I said, over the course of the 90 minutes, the right team won, but it's an absolutely gutting way for, if I'm thinking about it from an English point of view, for Eric Dier and Harry Kane to go out of the Champions League.
It is indeed. And ironically, when you see the player who came up with the two late goals and being described by Steve McManaman in commentary as Stokes Hossolu, it's probably not what many people would have expected. In terms of, like you say there, for the two English players in Kane and Dier, disappointment, massive disappointment for them. But for Jude Bellingham, what a fantastic first season it's been at the Bernabeu for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he was at his best in the sort of two legs over the semi-finals. And you hope from an English point of view that he's not beginning to feel the pinch after what has been, you know, such an extraordinary season for him. You know, Real Madrid have only lost a couple of games all season long, and he's been the main driver really for them, him and Vinicius Junior throughout the season. And now he gets to play, of course, against his former club, Borussia Dortmund, in the final. Dortmund weathered the storm against Paris Saint-Germain, hit the woodwork four times, didn't they, PSG? Six times across the course of that semi-final two-legged tie. I'm surprised they're there. I definitely wouldn't have fancied them at the start and even throughout every stage of this campaign, really. I never felt like they were a team that could reach a Champions League final. They're having a poor season domestically, only going to qualify for the Champions League because the Bundesliga is getting five spots, although they've played a good part in terms of getting that fifth spot with the coefficient. But I think Real Madrid are rightly strong favourites to go and win that tie at Wembley. We'll discuss it next week in the final edition of Bets Club for the season. But I would say that it's definitely Real Madrid's to lose at the moment.
Yeah, it would look that way. And it's going to be one heck of a final, though, at Wembley Stadium. Borussia Dortmund against Real Madrid in the Champions League. We're going to turn our attentions, though, now to the Premier League. It is the penultimate weekend of the season. And we'll start off by looking at the big match at the weekend. And last week, we were umming and ahhing over what should be classed as the big match, Mark. I don't think there's too many complaints about the selection this week. Manchester United against Arsenal at 4:30 on Sunday. And as ever, when these fixtures come around, memories of the likes of Ferguson against Wenger spring to mind, of course. But these two teams sort of pulls apart at the moment, and that's highlighted by the latest show of betting. United are around about 6-1 to win this game. The draw 17-4, 2-5 Arsenal. As I say, that, when would you ever see Manchester United 6-1 at home to beat Arsenal, Mark?
At first you have to think to yourself, like, yeah, Arsenal 2-5 at Old Trafford. I mean, it feels wrong, but I think on all the evidence, really, of the season, it feels right because Arsenal still in with a shout at the title. They obviously need help somewhere along the lines, whether it's from Fulham or Tottenham or West Ham to deny Manchester City, but they can only do what they can sort of do themselves, Arsenal, and they beat Bournemouth comfortably enough last week at the Emirates, and they go to Manchester United. But everything that United do wrong, it just feels like it's the kind of everything Arsenal do right, the togetherness, the fact that they're able to keep so many of their players fit. You know, Arteta was able to weed out the wrong-uns in the dressing room as he saw it, and it's not come back to bite him, has it? You know, Ten Hag fell out with Jadon Sancho, and then Sancho ends up being one of the star players in the Champions League semi-final, and you know, Dortmund are now in a Champions League final, and Ten Hag's probably looking at the sack, whereas Arteta did you know, some similar things really in terms of like wanting a certain discipline within the club. And you remember the fuss that it caused when he got rid of Aubameyang and sort of just he preferred to play, you know, without a senior striker, didn't he, rather than use Aubameyang. But that decision was has proven to be the right one. They're so good defensively now, Arsenal. That's the sign of a well-coached team. Functional in midfield. I don't think they're spectacular. Odegaard is the exception, I suppose, to that. But, you know, their first fault really is for Declan Rice to protect that back four. Then whoever plays alongside him, whether it's Partey or, you know, Jorginho, they're there to offer that defensive solidity. Odegaard's the kind of the magical dust there that links the midfield and the attack. And then they're explosive in the final third without having kind of a Haaland in their team to get them 30 goals a season or whatever. It's more a holistic approach. Kai Havertz is playing well. Saka seems to be over his minor ailments. And whoever they play on the left, I mean, Trossard, I'm not sure he's as good as Martinelli, but just pops up with goals, isn't he, all the time? So, you know, a really well-balanced team. If they do miss out on winning the league, they can consider themselves unlucky, I think.
I'm sure we'll go into Manchester United in more detail in a moment. But in terms of Arsenal, last season and in seasons gone by, this would be a game where you might fear for them in terms of potentially slipping up at this crucial stage of the season. I sense by what you said so far, and my opinion as well, is that I just don't see them slipping up.
No, I don't. I really don't see them slipping up. I mean, they've had some tricky games, haven't they, in recent times, if you think of the you know, the trip to Tottenham as an example. They 3-0 up at half time, and you go, or you know, there might be some I suppose backlash or kind of down spirits from when they went out of the Champions League and then lost to Aston Villa. And I think the old Arsenal wasn't very good at reacting to you know, to times of despair, and it would unravel, wouldn't it? And you know, one defeat would become two, and all of a sudden it's four. And, yeah, and the season's fallen apart. You don't feel like that's going to happen now. It hasn't happened now. They've been able to negotiate their way through some, you know, difficult games. You think of Chelsea playing well at the moment. Now, I know they were missing Cole Palmer, and also you had that, you know, it was just after a semi-final, but they've still beaten them 5-0. And so they just, even if you think of that Wolves game away, big teams have dropped points at Molineux this season. Again, Wolves weren't at full strength. And I know there will be some people that saying Arsenal have had the rub when it comes to playing against teams that are missing important players at big times. But, you know, you can only, you know, beat what's put in front of you. And they're doing that very well.
I read something earlier this week that said, who's under more pressure and who's got a more thankless task, Rishi Sunak or Erik ten Hag? And at the moment, it's hard to pick one out of those two. I have to say, just as you think things couldn't get any worse for Manchester United, that performance and the defeat at Crystal Palace was just, you know, just not what you would have expected, even with the frustration that they've shown this season.
Laughable, really. And you know what? The Man United fans were credited afterwards with their support of the team. I found that strange, the way they were applauding them. I mean, what were they applauding there? You know, there are times when a team puts in effort and you can see, you know, what they're trying to do, and you can lose games. To me, that just felt like blind faith, really. I mean, almost showing that the players, that what they're doing is acceptable. And I found it quite odd. You know, I'm all for, you know, fans sticking behind the team. But that just felt, unnecessary in my sort of humble opinion. I don't think they deserved that. I think it would have been a bigger statement that they all walked out or booed them or whatever at the end of that game. It was an absolute joke of a performance. I don't think there's any of them that can come out of it and say that they, tried, to their maximum. The coach is clearly out of his depth and on his way out. And they've got a lot of injuries. That's the only thing I would say. They've got a lot of injuries, but it was a pathetic performance from the goalkeeper through to the forward. Nothing to like about it.
I think the fact that Johnny Evans and Casemiro are playing in the centre of defence, I can't imagine that anybody would, have anticipated that at the start of the season. And, losing Harry Maguire to injury just compounds it. I mean, is there anything that we can put down to all of these injuries, Mark? I know a lot of Premier League teams have suffered this season.
Ten Hag says it's just luck. I mean, I would question that because you must feel like there's something in training that's not quite working. I suppose the only thing you can say is that when you get injuries in one position, it means you can't rotate out those players. And they sometimes play with knots and therefore they then get injured. But I think there has to be a big investigation into how they've so many injuries. And it's funny, isn't it, that teams that are struggling seem to have players that can't come back as quick as maybe those that are sort of playing for things, if you like. So, I'll just throw that one out there, really, without naming names. If you look at Man City, it looks like their players are desperate to come back. There's a lot to play for. Just wonder what the spirit's like at United at the moment. I mean, it doesn't look good from the outside, that's for sure.
No, I think that's a fair comment. But Manchester United have raised the game on a couple of occasions this season. You think about potentially the draw with Liverpool earlier on in the season in the Premier League. Can they cause an upset on Sunday, Mark, or are we looking at another Arsenal victory?
I think we're looking at an Arsenal victory. Then games against Liverpool, that you sort of referenced in there, Warren, I mean, they were lucky in those games. Liverpool chucked it away. Arsenal are much better defensively than what Liverpool are, and so I don't expect them to make the same mistakes. I'm going for Arsenal on the double result, so Arsenal to be leading at half-time as well as win the game. In 10 of their last 11 Premier League wins, they've been ahead at the break. So they come flying out the traps usually. Manchester United are 15th on expected goal difference and expected points. So never mind them missing out on Europe. There are some statistics that say, they're fortunate not to be in a relegation battle. And I think that if you actually forget to call them Manchester United, just look at what they're serving up. I mean, this is not a good side at all. This is, to me, looks like a bottom half team most weeks. And so I think Arsenal should go to Old Trafford and expect to win and win fairly comfortably.
So Mark expects an Arsenal victory at Old Trafford. What about the rest of the Premier League action? Time to look ahead at the fixtures this weekend. OK, so time to have a look ahead now to the rest of the Premier League weekend action. Mark's moved seats because I think Erik ten Hag's been knocking on the door somewhere to try and get in and get at you after our criticism of Manchester United. But United in action, as you say, against Arsenal. City, meanwhile, down in the capital to take on Fulham at Craven Cottage in Saturday's early kickoff. We said earlier on Arsenal are hoping for a slip-up. Will it come in this game, Mark?
I wouldn't have thought so. City, long odds on favourites, as you'd expect. They've got a great record against Fulham. I think it's 15 wins in a row. Not that that sort of matters too much, really. Different teams, different players. I'm going to go for Man City to win and both teams to score. I think if City do get ahead, they'll start to maybe think about this game against Tottenham that they've got coming up on Tuesday, which on paper is a more difficult game. I know there's some Spurs fans that have changed the Tottenham till I die chant till City till July, which in reference to the fact that we're all cheering on Pep Guardiola's team to win the title and deny Arsenal. So I expect City to win, but Fulham have scored in all 7 of their games against the sort of top 4 this season, and I think can be sort of relatively pleased with their season. They lost Mitrovic, and there were, I think, some people feeling like they could be involved in a relegation battle this season. Never remotely been on. They reached a semi-final of a League Cup, didn't they, as well? Played some decent football, have taken some notable scouts as well. This would be the biggest of the lot, really, you know, given the sort of, you know, how the dynamics of the season. Don't expect it. Think City will win, but wouldn't be amazed if Fulham got on the score sheet.
Yeah, Fulham are as big as around 10-1 to pick up the 3 points. City 1-4 on the draw, 11-20. There are no fewer than 6 games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and we'll start by looking ahead to the game at the Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth against Brentford. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw in this game. Brentford have drawn 5 of their last 10. I mean, you know, Bournemouth are rightly rated favourites by the bookmakers to win the game, and sort of pretty strong favourites. So I'm not disagreeing with that, but in terms of a value bet, I'm sort of struggling to want to back Bournemouth in the game. So Brentford can be awkward opponents. They might be able to hold on for a point, but not one of the bigger games of the weekend, I'd say.
No, that's fair to say. 19-20, Bournemouth, the draw 14-5, and Brentford around 13-5. We'll turn our attentions now to the clash at Goodison Park. Everton against already relegated Sheffield United. Everton around about 2-5 to win this game. The draw 15-4, and Sheffield United as big as 6-1. And what are you thinking here, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go for an upset here. I'm not quite Sheffield United to win, but I'm going to go for Sheffield United or draw. Double chance. I mean, Everton, as you said, they're 2-5 to win a Premier League game. Makes me feel nervous about backing that. They're on a good run of wins, of course, particularly at Goodison, but they've only scored 9 goals in their last 10 Premier League matches. And if I'm backing a team, you know, around about 1-2, 2-5, I want to be sort of pretty confident that they're going to score a couple of goals in the game. And you can think of sort of teams, even say like Bournemouth, we just mentioned them, you'd fancy them to have more firepower than Everton. If they've got a similar game against Sheffield United, you know, with the quality they've got in the final third, maybe you could sort of justify those type of prices. I just struggle with Everton. I mean, there's not much to like about Sheffield United. They're relegated, but they didn't exactly throw in the towel against Nottingham Forest last week, despite the defeat. And yeah, as a value bet, I think going for the Blades not to lose. I'd say it's either that or don't bet in the game.
Well, Newcastle have moved into the top 6 and they could yet still catch Spurs for 5th place. They play host to Brighton at St James's Park on Saturday. Eddie Howe's men are around about 3-5 to pick up the 3 points. It's 15-4 the draw and 7-2 Brighton. Newcastle's home form has been impressive of late, Mark.
It has, but I'm going to go for an upset here as well. I'm going to go for Brighton to win. I thought they played really well against Aston Villa. It was much more like the Brighton that, you know, was pushing for Champions League and sort of at the end of last season. And I think in terms of ratings, there were a lot of people that felt that they, you know, could actually push on for top 4 this season. It hasn't happened. They've had a lot of injuries. Europa League got in the way as well. If you have a look at that team, though, that started against Villa, it was much more familiar in terms of the names. They're getting a few players back. And you're right to say that there's more riding on the game for Newcastle, but it doesn't mean you will win. And so I just thought that Brighton were the pick, because against Villa, clearly this was not a team that sort of you know, got the flip-flops on just yet.
Yeah, it would have been a real harsh result if they'd not picked up the 3 points against Villa. They were a better team in that game. And as you say, sometimes with that extra pressure, with something to play for in front of your home crowd, it might work against Newcastle. The team they're chasing, of course, Tottenham are at home to Burnley on Saturday. Spurs are around about 1-3 to win the game, 5-1 the draw, 13-2 Burnley, who I have to say, I expected them to do something against Newcastle, at least give it a real good go last week, and it was really disappointing from Vincent Kompany's men.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, sort of. They've been sort of taking sort of 1 and 2 steps forward. That was about 8 steps back, really, and sort of about 6 months back to when they were really struggling in the Premier League. They're relegated unless they win at White Hart Lane, so they've got to go for it. That's not going to suit them, I don't believe at all. I'm going to go for Tottenham to win the game 3-1. If you have a look at Tottenham, they've had 10 home league wins and this season where the other team have scored. So I was looking at sort of Tottenham to win and both teams to score, but it's not exactly a giveaway price. So I was just sort of looking in the correct score, sort of try and eke out some value. They've beaten Bournemouth 3-1. They beat Nottingham Forest 3-1. They beat Crystal Palace 3-1. So that looked to me to be sort of logical starting points. Spurs have been on this bad run. You would have to say that the games have been hard. You've had Arsenal and Chelsea and Liverpool as well. There were signs in that last half hour against Liverpool that they've got something like their sort of best front three on the pitch with Richarlison back. So I'd expect them to win this game.
Burnley, by the way, have not beaten anybody in the top 10 this season of the Premier League as well, which probably tells its own story. West Ham face Luton at the London Stadium at 3 o'clock. Almost last chance saloon for Luton as well in their attempts to stay in the top flight. West Ham around about 4-5. The draw 16-5. And Luton 14-5. With the news of David Moyes this week and Julian Lopetegui going to replace him next season, Mark, will that have an impact, do you think, on this game?
I think it'll have a positive impact from West Ham in terms of, this is Moyes' last home game. I think there's been rumblings, obviously, from the supporters, well, ever since he came back to the club, really. But I can see it being a really strong atmosphere and appreciation for what Moyes has done, the European trophy success of last season. So while there's nothing to play for as such, I kind of feel like there will be an attitude shift from West Ham. I must say, I'm not entirely sure Lopetegui's an amazing selection for them, just in the fact that, it looked like he'd done a great job at Wolves, but, I mean, Gary O'Neill's done just as well, if not better, with less. So that maybe highlights that it wasn't such a miracle worker in the first place, but they wanted a change of style. They'll get a change of style with Lopetegui. Luton needs something, to stay up realistically. Goal difference is so bad. They'll feel like they need to win the game as well, but they definitely need something out of it. Just don't think that they're playing well enough anymore to do so. So, yeah, I thought West Ham were a strong bet, actually.
Yep. West Ham to win at home to Luton is Mark's suggestion then for Saturday's clash. And the final 3 o'clock game takes place at Molineux. Lopetegui's old club Wolves at home to an informed Crystal Palace. Wolves are at about 9-5 to collect the points. Palace 29-20 and the draw 5-2. What are you looking at here, Mark?
I was looking at the draw just because Crystal Palace are clearly playing well at the moment, but that's not been missed by the bookmakers and seen as likely as Wolves basically to win the game at Molineux. Doesn't scream out as a value bet. Wolves are getting some of their sort of better players back. Had a thankless task last week away to City. Don't blame them for sort of chucking one in really there. So, I'll go for a more positive performance from them and a draw.
And going to the late game on Saturday evening, certainly plenty riding on this at the moment. Nottingham Forest failing with their appeal to try and get points back. They play host to an in-form Chelsea side who look to be heading in the right direction finally under Mauricio Pochettino. Although, Mark, there's still speculation as to whether Pochettino will be manager next season.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take a season as a whole rather than sort of the last three matches or whatever. And so I think Chelsea will have expected to, at the very least, be in a European spot. They might still sneak into one, of course. But at the moment, they're not. And they were never in the discussion for top four. And, the cup final, I still think, will have hurt a lot because that Liverpool team was there for the taking. Obviously, so many players out. But he's mentioned it himself. The XG and the underlying data has always suggested that Chelsea will get it right at some stage. And I actually, I'm going to go for them to win at Forest because I think there's a good chance Forest will be safe, effectively, by the time this game starts. Luton, I've already tipped them up to lose. I've tipped Burnley to lose. So there might not be as much riding on the game for Forest as what it looks like at the moment in terms of the prices. If you take out that 5-0 against Arsenal, which was obviously a shambolic performance from Chelsea, they've beaten Everton, West Ham and Tottenham by an aggregate score of 13-0. I know all those games were at home, but they were way the better side against Aston Villa, particularly second half. Should have beaten Man City in the FA Cup semi-final as well. So I do think that there are quite a lot of positives at the moment and are a team that probably don't want the season to end.
it can get around about evens on Chelsea to collect the points. It's 5-2 Nottingham Forest, and the draw is 14-5. Just the one game we've already talked about, of course, on Sunday, Manchester United Arsenal. So we'll jump to Monday evening and Aston Villa against Liverpool, which about 6 weeks ago, Mark, looked like it would be a massive game. Not so much now.
No, unlikely to mean anything really. I mean, there's a small amount of work for Aston Villa to do to get top four, but realistically, job's done really as far as that's concerned. I'm going to go for under 3.5 goals at even money. I don't know if it's just the old school nature of me, but when the over 3.5 is seen as the favourite in a reasonably competitive game, my instinct is to try to get that beat. And I know it feels like it'll be a wide open game because Aston Villa defend high and Liverpool, you know, do play on the front foot, just, you know, home or away. It's just what they do. But I was looking at Aston Villa's games and like 1-0 at home to City and Arsenal, but both ended in victories. And so you then go and sort of look at Liverpool's sort of more difficult away games. There was the 3-1 against Arsenal, but outside of that, it was 1-1 against City, 2-1 against Tottenham and Newcastle. It was 1-1 at Chelsea. And then Villa's expected goals was 0.1 at Brighton, offered absolutely nothing in the final third. A point would be seen as a really good result for Aston Villa as well in this game. So, yeah, that's why I'm going for a sort of unders match. It's one that you'd be watching from behind the sofa because it does feel like it will be a high scoring and entertaining. But that is built very much into the prices for this game.
And we should point out as well, of course, that we're recording this before Aston Villa's Europa Conference League game in Greece against Olympiacos. So that will be a bit of fatigue in the Villa squad as well. They're around about 16-5 to pick up the win, Villa. The draw is 100-30, and it's around about 7-10 for Liverpool to claim the 3 points. We'll be back with Mark a little bit later on to run us through his bet builder treble at Nap as well ahead of the weekend's action. But now the focus turns to the EFL as Dan Charles looks ahead to the Championship playoffs. Well, I'm delighted to say I've been joined now by Dan Childs to look in specifically at the Championship and the playoffs, of course, that get underway over the next few days. Before we talk specifically about the Championship playoffs, Dan, let's just have a quick word on the final day of the season. And at the top of the table, as we predicted, Ipswich were good enough to see off the challenge of Huddersfield and Leeds United inadvertently in the other game as well to get automatic promotion. What a job Kieran McKenna's done there.
Fantastic job. I mean, to get back-to-back promotions, because, I mean, people talk about the gap between the Premier League and the Championship, but there's quite a gap as well between the Championship and League One. You've only got to look at the two other teams that came up. Plymouth were champions, stayed up on the last day of the season. Sheffield Wednesday were down there, weren't they, for a lot of the season, and a miraculous recovery to get out. So Ipswich to get up in that promotion race and to actually go up automatic with against the budgets that they're up against, teams coming down from the Premier League, it's an unbelievable achievement by the manager. I'm sure he'll stay at Ipswich for the time being, but he'll be being looked at by some of the top clubs as well.
One team in blue and white heading in the right direction, another heading in the wrong direction. Birmingham relegated on the final day, Dan, and League One football for them next season. Already a lot of speculation about who's going to be in charge, bearing in mind, of course, that Tony Mowbray's had his illness issues. Will he stay? Will Gary Rowett stay? Can you see them bouncing straight back?
I can, yeah, because they're a massive club for that level. I feel that a lot of the damage was done sort of earlier in the season. They had that really bad slump, didn't they, when Wayne Rooney, took charge. I think they were six under John Eustace, actually, when John Eustace left. So it was a real strange decision, to get rid of John Eustace, who obviously stayed up with Blackburn as well on the last day of the season. But I think both of them are a safe pair of hands, actually. Tony Mowbray, I think, is a very good Championship manager, and Gary Rowett as well. He's had good spells at Birmingham. I think Rowett at times can be criticised for being a little bit too cautious. I think some of the Birmingham fans are going to be questioning the two away games that came before. They drew away to Rotherham and drew away to Huddersfield. Maybe they could have pushed a little bit more to win one of those two games. Would have made all the difference. But I do think they'll be strong in League One next season.
Well, let's stick, though, with the Championship for now, because we've got the two playoffs to look forward to, the semi-finals, of course. Norwich up against Leeds and West Brom against Southampton. Let's start off with that Norwich-Leeds encounter, Dan. There's an awful lot of things you'd have to say weighing against Leeds at the moment. I've got a lot of Leeds United supporting friends who are feeling very negative at the moment. They just don't feel they're playing well enough to get through to the final, let alone promotion.
I think they're right to be worried, actually. I mean, with Leeds, with the players that they've got, you know, they can, you know, have a brilliant 5-10 minute spell and it could sort of turn the course of their season. But I would, at the moment, you've got the last six games of the season with everything on the line, every chance of getting in the top two. And they've got 4 points from then six games. That's their worst run of the season at the moment that it mattered most. You looked at that QPR game, you know, when you look back, if they'd have won it, they would have gone into the last weekend of the season with it in their hands. And they've gone and lost 4-0 in that game. That was a shocking performance and not really much of a response when they lost 2-1 home to Southampton as well in the game after. They have got great individual players, but if you're looking at the form going into the playoffs, got to be a concern. And Norwich, they have done better in the second half of the season. 39 of their 73 points they picked up in 21 games since the turn of the year. So, going into this game, Norwich 9-4 to get a home win. I think Leeds was probably snatch a hand off for a draw and take it, you know, to Elland Road all square. Mm-hmm. But I think that 9-4 for Norwich to get a win is overpriced.
Daniel Farker, of course, against his former club. Just a little bit of extra spark to add to an already big game between Norwich and Leeds. The other semi-final, of course, sees West Brom against Southampton. You mentioned there Southampton finished with that win at Elland Road. Possibly more to do with the fact that, you know, a poor Leeds performance and Southampton being right on the money. And West Brom will probably go into this, Dan, I assume, as kind of the outsiders.
But they're the outsiders for the tie. I mean, they're only 7-4 just to win the home leg, which I think is the bet for this. I can see them getting a first leg victory. Southampton, as you mentioned, Warren, going into that Leeds game, they'd lost three games in a row, so their form's not been great either. Conceded a lot of goals through the season, only two clean sheets in the last 15 games. And again, like Leeds, they've got a lot of good individual players, but when your form is so sort of scratchy, or even worse than scratchy, going into the playoffs, that's a big worry for me. A lot of pressure on them and expectation. Southampton, like Leeds, were probably expecting to go up automatically. It hasn't, you know, happened. And West Brom, for me, have done a pretty good job to get into the playoffs. Their budget, third season since they've been out of the Premier League, budget's been coming down all the time, but they've made it this time into the playoffs. I really like the manager, Carlos Corberan. He gets the best out of his players generally. Took Huddersfield, you know, a pretty ordinary bunch of Huddersfield players to the playoff final two seasons ago. They narrowly lost to Nottingham Forest. I think he's probably got a better team now at West Brom. They lack kind of the individual superstars that Southampton and Leeds have got, but they're a good team. You know, he's got them well-drilled, well-coached. And Mikey Johnson, I think, has added something different since he's coming in January on loan from Celtic, giving him a bit of stardust. And they're very strong at home, 15 wins, 4 draws, 4 defeats, you know, in their championship home record. And I think they can get this win at home to Southampton. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got through the tie as well.
So are we predicting a Norwich-West Brom final at the moment, Dan?
I'm going to go with that. I mean, at the prices, you're taking a look at the outrights on the playoffs. It's really skewed heavily towards Leeds and Southampton. 13-8, both sides to go up. 11-1, Norwich, and 6-1, West Brom. I'm really not sure about, you know, that difference in the prices. And I'll be happy to be on either of the outsiders, really, to go up. But West Brom will be my pick at 6-1. As I mentioned, how good a coach Corberan is. I think if they make it to Wembley, whoever they face, whether it's Leeds or Norwich, I would back them to get the job done.
It may well be the Baggies who are boing boinging at Wembley come the playoff final. So much to look forward to in the Championship playoffs and, of course, the rest of the EFL playoffs. Dan will be keeping a very close eye on things, I'm sure. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
You're welcome, Warren.
So thanks to Dan for his EFL tips for this weekend. Mark, we're going to concentrate now on the Bet Builder, the treble and the nap from you for this week. And we'll start off with a Bet Builder.
Yeah, so heading to Old Trafford, where Arsenal to win is the, I suppose, fairly obvious shout, really, for that game. Manchester United are just in a shocking state at the moment. Just can't trust them to defend or score goals, really. And so I think the difference between the two teams is even bigger, really, than the league table would suggest. And that's hefty enough. So we're going for Arsenal to win. I'm going for Kai Havertz to have 2 or more shots on target, something he's managed in 4 of his last 5 Premier League matches. And I mean, it's well documented about Manchester United's problems in terms of allowing shots at their goal this season. And then to round it all off, Casemiro to be carded. I had a nightmare at Selhurst Park. I think he was over-criticised in relation to everybody else because I don't feel like he was like miles worse than sort of some of the other players in a United shirt. But he was an easy enough target. But having to play centre-half against all of that Arsenal quality is a thankless task when you're alongside Johnny Evans, I think, at each stage of his career. And yeah, Casemiro to be carded. I would also consider Amrabat because he's absolute filth in that midfield, but whether he starts or not, can't be certain.
Experienced players tend to get it in the ear a bit more, don't they, Mark, in terms of the pundits' criticism at this stage of the season?
Yeah, they do. And yeah, I'm not sitting here and totally defending Casemiro, but he was playing out of position alongside Johnny Evans, with Christian Eriksen as the defensive midfielder. I mean, you know, it's a hard yeah. job for anyone in that role, I would say. But, I don't see much changing between now and Sunday. So, he's definitely at risk of picking up a yellow.
Some might say an impossible job. We'll move on to the treble for this week. Nice little winner last week that Mark tipped up just over 5-1. We're back in West Brom, Nottingham Forest and Doncaster. Where are we going this week, Mark?
Going for West Ham to beat Luton, Moyes' last home game, and the next game's against Man City away. So, effectively, this is like the last chance for them, I think, to win a game this season. I think they'll be motivated and fully at it. Their away forms have been terrible recently, but more reliable at home. Chelsea to beat Nottingham Forest. You mentioned that Forest did us a turn in that treble last week, but they were outshot at Sheffield United, and five of the top six have already won at the City Ground this season. And then to go with West Ham and Chelsea, going for Athletic Bilbao to beat Osasuna. Osasuna are 16th on expected goals in La Liga. They've lost six of their last seven games as well, got very little up front. And this is a must-win game for Athletic in their chase for a top four. If they don't get in the top four, it's not all bad, though. The Europa League final is at San Mamés, so in Bilbao next season. So that might be a target for them anyway. But I'm sure they'd rather be in the Champions League. And for them to get there, this is a real must-win game for them. So it comes out around about 4-1.
That'd be a huge achievement for Athletic Bilbao to reach the Champions League, of course. So a mixture of La Liga and Premier League action in the treble with West Ham, Chelsea and Athletic Bilbao. And we'll wrap up, Mark, with your nap of the weekend.
Yeah, West Ham at 4-5 to beat Luton. The Hammers are not in great form, but if you actually look at their fixtures, they've played a lot of tough games. You know, they run into Chelsea at the wrong time. They drew against Liverpool, but that was still a hard game. They had two matches against Leverkusen and played really well in the home leg of that Europa League game. And then they ran into Crystal Palace, who are currently playing like the Harlem Globetrotters. So I think there are sort of reasons for West Ham's tail off in form in more recent weeks. Luton, 2 points from their last 8 away matches. I think we're in danger of overrating them in sort of more recent times. I mean, this is a team that would have been absolutely relegated long before now if it wasn't for the point deductions elsewhere. And I'm not saying that's a fault of theirs. You know, they've got a championship budget and they've done well to get up and they've been competitive maybe the more than sort of say some would have suggested. But I would say in the last couple of months, they've really struggled. And it is a good opportunity for West Ham to sign off with a victory in Moyes' last home game as manager.
West Ham to beat Luton is the nap. A big week ahead for you, Mark. Are you going to both Tottenham home games this week?
I'm going to the one on Saturday against Burnley. I'm not going on Tuesday. I don't care. I want Tottenham to lose the game, and I'm not paying 90 quid for the for the pleasure of doing that. So, come on, City.
We'll leave it there, I think. A goodbye from Mark and a goodbye from me as well. And don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Betts Club. And we'll be back next week with another episode to discuss, of course, the final Premier League matches of the season. Enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.